Can I get a kiss? Can I feel them lips? I'm talking about the ones between your hips. What's up? What's up? I just wanna know right now, now, before I take you out, out, girl. I wanna know if I should be spending all of these dollar bills on you. I wanna know that after we leave the club that you gon' be trying to come through. What's up? What's up? I just wanna know right now, now, baby, before I go, can I get a kiss goodnight?
Man, what's happening, people? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Show. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex, also known as Tariq Nasheed. And I'm so glad to have everybody tuning in to today's show. We're going to chop up some good game as usual. No phone calls on today's show. We're just going to spit all the way through. Brief and to the point. Today's show is brought to you by HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Also, today's show is brought to you by the horror movie, The Eugenist. You can go to iTunes right now and order The Eugenist. Get the instant download and watch The Eugenist right now. Also, today's show is brought to you by Tariq Elite, the clothing line. All that fresh fly gear, you can go to TariqElite.com and get that right now, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope you guys are following me on Twitter and Instagram. My Twitter is at Tariq Nasheed, and my Instagram is at Tariq Elite. And let me put on some Mac and music because we're going to get right to the point. Let me throw on some Mac and music so I can chop up game. Now again, today's show is going to be somewhat brief. So let me get into some topical things, some things that's been going on in the news. Let's talk about some of those things right now. A lot of people are talking about the Ebola patient. I know some of you have heard about this gentleman. It's a black male who came over. I think he was visiting Africa and he flew into Dallas. And they said he had Ebola. And this gentleman died today. And a lot of people were tweeting me about this because I tweeted about that a week ago about how interesting it is that a lot of these white missionaries got Ebola and all of them were magically cured. Now, all of a sudden, there's no more cure for black folks who get it. So the blatant white supremacy is just getting pushed in your face. And I'm not going to get too heavy on today's show. Today's show is going to be somewhat lighthearted. But again, we just have to be cognizant of all of this stuff that's going on. But it's just very interesting. This gentleman died today. And I think this thing was a test run. This is nothing more than the Tuskegee experiment. That's all it is. This is the Tuskegee experiment. They basically monitored this guy and his Ebola virus that was in him, and then they basically sat around and saw how fast he would die. This was a test run. This was almost like using this man as a guinea pig. And I think, and I predict now, that they're going to start deliberately targeting this virus, this Ebola, in specific spots in black areas around the country, around America. I honestly think that. From what I understand today, there were some more people suspected of having this Ebola virus. So we got to just keep our eyes open to what's going on out here. We don't understand how serious and nefarious white supremacy is. This is not a game. They're dead serious with this. This genocidal code that's going on. They're very serious. And again, I think that they're going to start targeting certain black areas with this Ebola. Certain black areas that's more isolated and contained, like certain housing projects. Just keep your eyes open for this. They're going to release it in targeted neighborhoods. This was a test run. They just want to see the reaction of the public. They want to see if people are buying the BS that they ran out of the serum or the antidote to cure this Ebola virus. And this is something that we're going to talk about in the next Hidden Colors series that we do. We got to get real deep into these medicines, and we're going to talk real deep about health. But again, that's whenever. I'll let you guys know what's up with that. Now, a lot of people also are asking me about this Raven Simone thing. For those who don't know, little actress Raven Simone, who was on The Cosby Show, and Raven Simone has had her own shows on Nickelodeon and other networks. Now, Raven Simone, she did an interview with Oprah on Oprah's network, and Raven did an interview, and she said, basically, I'm not an African-American. I'm just an American. I don't want to be called an African-American. I don't want to be called a lesbian, because now she's in a lesbian relationship. And shout out to her. More power to that, sister. You know, that's her choice. But she doesn't want to be referred to as an African-American. And a lot of people were kind of thrown off by that, and rightfully so. Because a lot of times when black folks get a couple of dollars, or you get a certain level of acceptance within the dominant society, all of a sudden that whole new black talk starts coming in. That's that thing our brother Pharrell was talking about. He got on Oprah. Something when black folks get on Oprah, they get this thing where they kind of distance themselves from other black folks. I'm the new black people. I'm the new black. There's no racism in the new black world. Like, shit. So Raven Simone is talking about, well, she doesn't want to be called African-American. Now, my thing is this. If you don't want to be called African-American because you want to define yourself, I can roll with that. I can roll with the I don't want to be African-American argument if the argument is targeted to a certain narrative. Like, I think we should define ourselves. We should define ourselves. I say that. If I say, because I rarely refer to myself as an African-American. That's why I like to use the term melanoid, because that's us defining ourselves. We can define ourselves. I like to use the word melanoid. When I talk about black people, African-Americans, I use the term melanoid. That's why we have the Melanoid Nation organization going on right now. But I like to use the word melanoid because that's a term that we define for ourselves, and we define what that means legally, and we define who that is. And the term encompasses all black folks here in America, here in the Caribbean, in South America, in Africa, because there are people from the Dominican who don't want to be called African American. I got that, because you're from the Dominican Republic. There are people in Africa who come over here and they don't want to be called African-American. But I get that. That's why, again, I like to use the word melanoid. Wherever you are, if you're in Africa, you're still a melanoid person. You're in the Caribbean, you're still a melanoid person. So I like to use that term, because, see, that's how the white supremacists got down. See, the white supremacists, they just use the word white, and that's an all-encompassing term for people of that descent. And they use that as their power base. They rally around that and keep power globally with each other. See, the thing is, we as melanoid people, we get divided. We get told, okay, well, you're this, you're Dominican, you Puerto Rican, you all look the same. But the white supremacists, they told you and defined these terms for you, and now you're all confused, and there's a lot of division. And when there's division, there's control by the dominant society. So you're controlled because they've given you these labels to define yourself for the sole purpose of dividing you. So when people say, I don't want to be labeled as an African-American, if you're having a narrative where you want to encompass all black folks, I can roll with that. The problem is, people like Raven Simone and others, when they deny being an African-American, what they're trying to do is inch closer to white supremacy in many cases. They'll start claiming stuff like Creole, like Raven Simone. She's one of those black people who like claiming Creole, which is cool. But the thing is, the whole Creole thing, that's a lot of black folks who are trying to inch over there next to the white supremacists. Let's keep it 110. When we look at the history of Creole black people in French-speaking territories in the New World, such as Haiti. There were a lot of Creole black people in Haiti and New Orleans. You see a lot of Creoles anywhere where there's French, where there was a French domination, you still have people holding on to the Creole banner. And that's because during slavery, the French, they'll temporarily grant, or they temporarily granted the Creole black people certain privileges that they did not give to other black folks. So a lot of times the Creole black people thought that they were better than all of the other black people, because the white supremacists just carved out a temporary niche for them. But you have to understand this, when you look at history, even though the French were not as vehement about practicing white supremacists on a regular basis, many of them were still white supremacists. And when their power was being waned or threatened, you have to understand the white supremacists will band together and start getting a code. No matter how liberal they seem, when their power is being threatened, they know how to band together and get a code. For example, in Haiti, the French would cavort with the Creole blacks, and you had regular slaves out there in the field. So the Creole black people in Haiti kind of thought they were special. And when the Haitian Revolution broke out, a lot of the black people were not on board with the Haiti Revolution, especially the Creoles. The Creoles wanted to kind of be neutral. They just kind of wanted to be in the middle. That was the black folk. That was the darkies. It was their problem. They're not like those field Negroes, those darkies. We're light skinned. We're red bone. We're not like them. So they kind of had this uppity attitude. But when the French generals came in, they said, well, guess what? All you light-skinned niggas, we're cutting you down too. We're smashing every nigga on this island if we can. It's war, and that means you too. That woke up the Creoles. The Creoles then woke up and said, okay, let's join with the so-called darkies. We're in the same boat. See, the thing is, when white supremacy starts turning on people, then they'll start waking up claiming their blackness. See, that's the game. That's why you don't want to play that game. You don't want to get out there and start playing that. Well, I'm not African. I'm not really black. I'm kind of Creole. And when you start playing that game, the white supremacists, they know that they can isolate you. And when they start isolating you, they can start smacking you around. Then your ass run right back over to the black side of town. And even down there in New Orleans or Louisiana, they thought the same way. They had that uppity attitude. The Creoles had that uppity attitude towards other black folks. And when the United States purchased the Louisiana Territory from Haiti, not Haiti, but from France, the French generals came in and the French troops left, and the U.S. people, the U.S. soldiers came in there. The U.S. soldiers came in there and just changed the whole game up. They said, okay, look, the white people on this side of town and the Negroes on that side of town. And the Creoles were like, okay, well, we're not white or black, so where do we go? They said, wait a minute, what do you mean you're not white or black? Well, we're Creole. And the U.S. government said, if y'all don't take y'all light-skinned black asses right over there with the rest of the Negroes and stop playing. So they got their Negro wake-up call very quickly. So it's very important we don't get caught up in that game. It's very important we don't get caught up in that whole BS. And shout out to Raven Simone. You know, she's trying to find herself. And that's the thing. A lot of black people are trying to find themselves. And we're dealing with the system of white supremacy. You know, there's so many shootings and police brutality videos aimed at the African-American or melanoid community that we've seen lately. A lot of black people and melanoid people are confused. You don't know what to do. We're running in circles, and when you're confused and you don't know what to do, you start looking for any kind of out. You start looking for an out. You start trying to get out of yourself. You don't know. You want to change. When you're being oppressed, anybody who's being oppressed or harmed socially, it's a natural thing to want to change that predicament. And a lot of times you don't know how to challenge systematic white supremacy. So a lot of times you aim your focus on other people within your community, and you're trying to run around to change something. We're always, melanoid people, black people are always looking for something new. We're always trying to do something different. That's why we change our hair all the time. We're trying to get the latest clothes all the time. We want something new all the time, something that will hopefully get us away from systematic white supremacy. Even with the lesbian gay thing with Raven Simone. Now some, and again, that's just a choice, but a lot of times black people start getting into alternative lifestyles as a way to kind of lessen the blow of white supremacy. They think, okay, I'm looking for sanctuary, because we live in a society where there's no sanctuary. As black people, we don't have any protection, and that's something that a lot of us don't want to admit. I saw an interview with a sister on the news talking about incidents of police brutality that we've seen, and the sister was really frustrated because there was like a white commentator just kind of pretending that, well, it's not really about race. And she was like, it is about race, and we don't know what to do about it, which is so true. It's very frustrating that we, no matter how you slice it, whether you like it or not, you can say, well, I'm not African-American, I'm just an American. But whether you like it or not, melanoid people in America, black people, African Americans, are a despised and marginalized group. Some people in the dominant society might deal with us and like us on an individual level, but as a group, we're targeted. That's just a reality. We're targeted. We do not have protection. And you have now white supremacists who have a green light to go out and become police officers. And I'm not saying that all police officers are white supremacists, but now we're in a situation where any white supremacist can become a police officer and target any random black person and harm them or kill them or her. And at this point, nothing can be done about it. That's the question that every black person should be putting to the table. What can be done to white supremacists who become police officers who decide to harm innocent black people? What type of punishment is there going to be for them? And as we stand right now, there is no punishment for them. There's zero punishment for a white supremacist posing as a police officer who wants to harm black people. That's a very dangerous scenario to be in. Because as Neely Fuller said, they are race soldiers. Now you have race soldiers out here, and black people, you have no protection from that. That's why things are going to go down again out there in St. Louis, because I think they're not going to prosecute the guy who shot Brother Mike Brown, the Darren Wilson guy. I think they're going to try to let him go, and things are going to get turned up again out there. But again, this is what we need to dialogue about. We got to be very honest about how this gets down. But again, we look for alternative lifestyles as a way to escape systematic white supremacy. So a lot of times we will try to jump into the gay or the lesbian community, thinking that that's going to be a sanctuary. I did a lecture about that. And you have to understand this, even in the gay lesbian community, they practice systematic white supremacy just like the rest of the people in the dominant society. Not all, but you have white supremacists within those ranks. There's a case of this lesbian couple. I think they were in Ohio. They went to a sperm bank and they wanted to get sperm inseminated into one of the women so she could have a baby. So she got a sperm donor. What happened was they made a mistake and gave her the sperm of a black guy. And the woman ended up having this biracial melanoid child. So after 2 years of raising the child, she loves the child and all that. But now the woman wants to sue because now she's experiencing racism. And that's sad, and it's funny at the same time. It's sad because, you know, this little child has to deal with her mother suing somebody because she was born, basically. That's a very horrible narrative for a kid to really deal with. But it's just funny that we're always told as black people that we should get over racism. We're just making too much of it. Racism is in the past. if we just pulled our pants up, if we didn't have babies out of wedlock. We're told all this racism don't exist yet. Now, when the dominant society, when you mistakenly get a black person in your family, all of a sudden, now racism is real. All of a sudden, wait a minute, racism is a problem now that it's affecting me. See how that works? Now the white supremacists are like, okay, I'm being affected by racism. We need to do something about it. I need to get compensated. I need to get a check after dealing with racism for 2 years with my black baby. You see? And we got to deal with it every day. And the minute we say something about reparations, people are like, oh, stop it, Negroes. So again, those in the dominant society, they're going to have white first. It's always white first with them. Do not get it twisted. So we got to be melanoid first. We got to think of ourselves first as a group worldwide. Speaking of lesbian, I talked about this on my Sunday's Ustream show, and this is just the funniest viral video of the last few weeks. There was a young lady named Donna Goodow out there in Texas, Port Arthur, Texas, Houston, somewhere out there in Texas. And this sister, she's a lesbian. She's a real studdish lesbian. She kind of looks like a dude. And she got involved in this robbery, stabbing or something. These people, they were involved with some kind of robbery. They stabbed this old, I think, Hispanic guy, whatever. I don't think they killed him, but they robbed him, whatever. It was some heinous crime. And she's doing this interview. They put the cameras on her, and it's gone viral because she's trying to sound hard. She's trying to be mannish, but she knows she's going to jail. So her feminine energy is coming out. And it's just like she's having an internal battle. And she's trying to also sound hard for the camera, because I guess she don't want the hood to think that she's a snitch, which she probably went in the interrogation room and became all woman and started snitching. But let me play a clip of this for those who haven't heard the infamous Donna Goodow tape.
Hey, I'm an innocent bystander. They saying I drove a getaway car, but I cannot see. I'm legally blind. That's my story. I'm sticking to.
She's about to cry, then she's trying to suck it up. And she says she's legally blind, she can't see.
I'm innocent.
Come on this way.
So are you from Houston?
Man, I'm from Port Arthur, Texas, and I'm a female.
And the white female reporter was like, sir, are you from Houston? Now, she knows it's a woman because she knows the case. But she called the woman a sir, you know, trying to be slick.
I did not drive no getaway car. I'm legally blind.
How'd you get wrapped up with these folks?
I got wrapped up. I was walking down the street and I caught a ride.
So you don't know these folks then, is what you're saying?
I know two of them. I don't know the other two. They saying I drove a getaway car. But I'm legally blind, so how I'm gonna drive a car?
So did you know what happened to the 73-year-old victim then? Or you?
I don't know what happened. I just know what the police said.
So you can't see at all?
Huh?
You can see that, right?
You can't see at all. Huh?
I'm legally blind. I can see barely. Barely, but on, I'm an innocent bystander.
Come on, Miss Goodall.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't do nothing. I don't know what's going on. All I know is my side of the story. I can't tell no.
She's trying her best to sound hard, and she keeps about to break down, and now she's going to start giving shout-outs to the hood. Hold on.
The story. I'm innocent, and Mom, I love you. P.O.P. All the time. Right, these are good pimp squad, baby, for life.
Come on, pimp squad. P.O.P. pimp squad, baby, for life. She's trying not to sound feminine, and she's trying her best to sound hard. And you know, another thing. A lot of times in our community, when we take on other gender roles, usually we take on the most negative of the opposite sex. I saw a video the other day of some black gay dudes who were basically acting like black female hood rats. It was just acting real ratchet. It was dudes had on real ratchet wigs and just acting real ratchet, like the worst kind of hood rat. And now she, this young lady here, she's acting like a dude, and she's acting like a real dusty ass dude. You dig? So, you know, we get confused again. That's that us running away, trying to find some kind of sanctuary, trying to find some kind of change. Women are like, well, it's easy to be a man. The men are like, well, it's easy to just give me your dress. I put that on. And the white supremacist designed it all that way, but I digress. But with this young lady, Donna Goodall, she's, again, trying to sound hard like a dude. She's trying to man up. But that woman energy is coming out, and I'm thinking, shit. From what I understand, she got like 18 years because she's doing all this talking, and the other people who she was involved with, they got 60 years. And I think she probably cut a deal for those 18 years. I think she went up in an interrogation room and plopped her titties right on the damn desk. All the woman came out. I think she probably went in there and started her period. I think that she became all female when she went in that room. She went in there telling and snitching. Her ass went in there like Chaka Khan on their ass. She went in there like this. P.O.P., baby. Pimp Squad, baby. Holding it down. P.O.P. Holding it down, baby. I'm legally blind. I'm legally blind. So, nigga, she cut a deal. All the woman came out. All that old hard gangster shit went out the window when she went in that room. She pulled her titties out, started her period, and started singing, nigga. She didn't fool nobody. That's why that woman got 18 years and everybody else got damn near life. But I digress. Let me get into some game, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all ready to get into some game? Let's get into some game. I haven't really chopped up some game in a minute, but I'm going to chop it up right now, family. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about sloppy mackin'. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about sloppy mackin'. And what made me want to talk about sloppy mackin' was the Wiz Khalifa Amber Rose situation. Now, for those who don't know, rapper Wiz Khalifa and model slash, I would say actress. She was in a movie called A Gang of Roses Part 2. So she acted in that movie. Wasn't an Oscar-winning performance, but she did her thing. And I like Amber Rose. Very lovely young lady. But they're getting a divorce. She filed for a divorce because it was said that Wiz Khalifa got caught. She caught him in bed with some twins. And I think it was at one of their homes. She came home and found this dude in bed with some twins. And the twins, you know, there are pictures of the twins floating around. And some people are saying that the women are real average. You know, but it's, you know, like they say, 2 fives make a 10. Shit. If you got 2 fives, you got you a 10. And a lot of people are complaining. Now, my thing is this. If you are that sloppy with your mackin', deep down, I think you want to get caught. I think Wiz almost wanted to get caught. If he banging twins up in his spot where it's that easy for your lady to run up on you, that's a nigga who just low-key wants to get caught. He's in the relationship and he don't want to get out, so he wants to do something so that she could leave the relationship. That's what that seems like. When your mackin' is that sloppy, when your mackin' gets that sloppy, you almost want to get caught. But the thing is, people are complaining that the girls are average and all that stuff. And you have to understand, this is another thing. If you got to creep with somebody, you would want to creep with somebody who's a little more average. It's because people use the argument, you got that fine woman like Amber Rose, and why would you want to mess with another broad? Like, yeah. The thing is, if you get another side piece, you don't want another dime. No, because if you get another dime, a real hot chick, a side chick, the dime is going to start wanting to campaign for first place. She's going to start trying to knock the main chick from the top spot. See, another dime, they don't like playing second fiddle, especially when they know they're a dime. They want to go for the top spot. That's in any situation. They want to be in the big house. They don't want to be out there in the field. They want to be on the big house. That's you notice that's why whenever you look at television, you see like overweight black women. They always prop up overweight, moderately attractive, but for the most part, not physically appealing black women on television a lot. And they do that on purpose. You don't see too many dime ass black women, especially on daytime television. You don't see that. Or in movies too much. It's very rarely. You know, you see the same black actresses usually in black productions. But the reason why you always have the overweight, mammy looking type of black woman, that's to appease the white female. That's to appease the white female, because now if you start propping up too many attractive black females, the attractive black females are going to start campaigning to be in the number one spot. They're going to start campaigning, and some of the white dudes will start choosing. If you put too many dime ass sisters out there, the white dudes will start saying, well, damn, these women aren't that bad. Then it'll be socially acceptable. See, now it's socially acceptable to slum, for you to go down in the hood to a whole house or to some strip club somewhere and kind of slum if you're in the dominant society. But on a mainstream level, the only acceptable, on a large scale level, the only acceptable type of black female in mainstream society on in the entertainment field, usually overweight black women, that mammy thing. And again, that's because a very attractive sister will attract too much attention. That's why a few years ago I was talking about how they would have Gabby Sidibe in these magazines with all of these very attractive white females. That was to give the white females shine, to make them feel better. Real heavy stuff. Because if you put a real fly sister around equally fly white, Mexican, Hispanic, other women, the sisters go, she's going to shine. The fly sister will always stand out. So they always have to make it an unequal thing. It's a real heavy psychological thing how the white supremacists design stuff. But again, putting a fly female around certain things, around certain people, when you're fly, you want to go for the number one spot. That's why those women, they don't like B. Stiviano. I think Donald Sterling is still messing with that B. Stiviano chick. And she ain't that fly, but she's fly enough. You dig? For her to get broke off. There's a lot of females out here in L.A., a lot of real fine sisters who got like these old white sugar daddies that's breaking them off. L.A. is flooded with that. That's why some of these white females out here, they can't stand these black women at all. And they let it be known. Beyonce did this thing on her concert a few weeks ago where she had the word feminist on stage. And that's just a marketing ploy. Beyonce ain't nobody's feminist. Basically, if you pop in your ass and you're a married woman with your kid in the audience, you better make it political. You better make it seem like you're doing it for some kind of socio-political reason. So they threw that whole feminist thing up there, and a lot of white feminists are calling that out. Like, there's a woman named Annie Lennox who's a singer, and she was like, today she put out an article kind of calling Beyonce's so-called feminism out, saying it was tokenism and things like that. And I understand where they're coming from. The white feminists, they don't, you're not, if you're a black female, they don't look at you as one of them as far as no feminist. They know you're faking the funk when you say you're a feminist, because white feminism is basically an extension of white supremacy. I've done a lot of shows on that, and I might have to do some more in-depth shows on that for people to really get the gist of how that goes down. But that's an extension of systematic white supremacy. So inherently, they're not going to really embrace black females. So the only time they'll use black females is if they're using black females against black males, which in turn will use that against the whole community. But again, I digress. And speaking of Beyonce for a minute, what the hell is up? Speaking of Beyonce and Sloppy Mac and Beyonce's dad, Matthew Knowles, this is the Sloppy Mackinist dude. Matthew Knowles, this dude has, he got divorced from Beyonce's mother. This brother is out here banging every hood rat in Houston. this dude is damn near 70 years old. Matthew knows he got a divorce. I think a year ago he had one kid, a boy. Now he done had another kid by some other chick named Taquan or Taquasia, some shit. They got a kid. It was found out that the kid was his, and then he's married to some other chick. I didn't know Matthew Knowles was remarried, but he's married to some other chick, got two other kids by two other women out here that's infants, and this nigga's out here, you 70 years old or damn near 70, you busting nuts up in chick's name, Taquan or Taquise or whatever her name is. Over the age of 25, you shouldn't be busting nuts up in no Taquans or Taquishas or whatever. You shouldn't be busting up in women like that raw. So this dude is on some sloppy mac and shit heavy. And the thing is, a lot of times when dudes start sloppy macking like that, these are dudes who are in that delayed player stage. He was married to Beyonce's mom for a long time. He didn't get to get out here and play the field like he wanted to. So now that he has a little name, he can say, hey, I'm Beyonce's dad. So now that gives him a little clout in the hood rat circles, I guess. So now he's just sloppy with it. The man is just sloppy, and he's too old to be that sloppy with his mackin'. Matthew, you got to sit down somewhere, player. You out here acting like America's next top sugar daddy, and these women see how sloppy your game is, they gonna get you. It's nothing for one of these hood rats to get knocked up by you, and now they got Beyonce's sister. And now you know they just waiting on the kid to be able to talk so they can try to put out an album and promote it as Beyonce's sister's new album. You dig? So Matthew, yeah, that's sloppy how you getting down, brother. That's why your kid's out here acting a fool. Solange out here beating people's asses in elevators. Yeah, the apple don't fall far from the tree. If the dad is raggedy with his, the kids are going to feel that energy. So Matthew, your macking is real sloppy, bruh. But the thing is, you got to understand this. A lot of times, sloppy macking can be a situational situation. Sometimes it's when dudes see a situation that presents itself, they just jump on it because the situation is there, and they don't think about the repercussions, and all the repercussions are sloppy. Just like with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was an opportunist. He had a Mexican maid living up in his house with him and his wife. And whenever his wife was gone, he was creeping upstairs, banging the shit out of that Mexican maid. And that Mexican maid looked a beast. She wasn't nowhere fine. That maid looked like the damn Terminator. And he's banging her, and they got like a little old half-Mexican kid, and the kid looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's sloppy. It's so sloppy. And, you know, his lady left him. So that's an opportunistic type of sloppy macking. So guys, you got to think about the repercussions. Sometimes guys get caught up in the moment and start doing some real raggedy shit and not think about the repercussions. But the thing is, with Wiz, I think, again, that was another situation of opportunity. Because even though the women were so-called average, they weren't bad-looking women. But the thing is, Wiz, he found two twins that were down to do-to-do. And that's something that a lot of guys want. That's a fantasy that a lot of guys have. A lot of guys want to get with twins who's down to have a threesome. I dated a girl who was a twin, and she said people used to come at her and her sister with that bullshit all the time. Dudes would always be like, I want to give up with y'all. She got just fed up with that all the time from dudes. And that's a fantasy, guys wanting to be with twins. So Wiz found these twins who were average and said, well, shit, this opportunity might not present itself again, so let me get down with this. And this fool did it up in his house, and he did it real sloppy. So the thing is, man, if you're going to be in the game, if you're going to be out here getting your Mac on, at least don't be sloppy with it. Think about the repercussions. Don't fuck up a happy home over some raggedy-ass, ratchet sex that ain't even worth the exchange. Now, Wiz, you had a nice little dime piece. Wiz, that was a messed up move. You could have done your macking a little bit better than that. if you wanted to creep, nigga, you should have done it on tour, on the road or something. You don't bring that up in your spot. Damn. Again, I'm not the moral police. I'm just the technicality police. I'm like, nigga, at least don't be sloppy and do the shit all up in your spot like that for your lady to walk on in. And now you done fucked up somebody who's a dime, who's giving you a good look. Wiz got to understand, Amber Rose was giving him a good look. Being with Amber Rose, they kind of helped each other with that, because that got him, you know, that created a whole power couple dynamic. So now, this was a dude, a rapper, who had a real fly chick, who was a model, who used to be with Kanye. So that was kind of a good look for the dude, because the power couple thing, you know, that brings you to a different audience. Now, different media and different press, they're trying to get at you. So he had to look at this from a business standpoint. Now he's just another nigga rapping. Another nigga rapping, banging ratchet ass chicks. That's average. But a dude rapping with a nice supermodel, I won't say supermodel, but with a model wife, that's a better narrative. And that's more of a package that you can brand. So Wiz is not only fucking up with his marriage, he's fucking up his brand and his money too. So you can't be that sloppy. You got to be thorough with your game and understand how to brand yourself and how to keep your shit in order and not just throw your life away for a couple of nuts. We got to get off that bullshit. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I will holler at you guys this Sunday on Ustream. Peace.